all began back when, many years ago, what I'm sharing with you now, when my grandmother and I had a conversation, and she made this statement. She was in her mid-80s, and I was asking her about her home church, and she began to rehearse some negatives about what was going on in her church. She stopped in mid-sentence and said, "I'm too close to heaven to talk this way," and then she changed the subject. Now, at that moment, I sensed God was trying to show me something, and I got a glimpse of it, but then it went away, and I never grasped what I was supposed to get out of that statement. Years went by, and I can remember just over and over again that coming up in my heart, saying, "What were you trying to show me, Lord?" And I never could see it. Recently, I was at a funeral of a minister who had ministered for over 70 years in his ministry. One of the speakers got up and said, they had heard he said this. He sat down with one of his employees one day and he made this statement. And this is when it kind of all gelled for me of some of the things I'm sharing with you right now. He said, "You know, I'm conscious every day that someday I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for the call of my life, the ministry and the anointing He's placed upon me." And it's somehow when those words were said, it all seemed to kind of gel together. And then I was reading in Scripture and saw the Scripture in Psalms 90 that said, "Lord, teach me to number my days so that I might apply my heart unto wisdom." But applying or living from the heart. And I began to see it. And what the Lord dealt with me, and I'm making this very condensed, was this. Is that when your grandmother said she was too close to heaven to talk that way, you thought you weren't. You thought that because, if all things being equal, you lived to her age, you had many years of life left. And so you thought, when she was too close to heaven to consider a speech or a topic that would violate the heart of God, you thought that somehow they didn't apply to you. You know, the Bible says that what is your life but a vapor? It appears for a little while and it vanishes away. If you live to be 300 in the scope of eternity, your life is gone that quick. And the older you get, you realize that it seems that, forget weeks passing quickly, years start to pass quickly. I mean, you know, it's another year has passed. I remember when a summer vacation in school felt like 2 years feels to you now. Time just keeps moving and moving. Yet you have one opportunity to live for God, to honor Him, to serve Him, to do His will. And if you'll recognize and pray, ask God, "Give me the revelation to number my days. Lord, show me the brevity of my life. Help me to live out of my inward man, the part of me that will live forever." In Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, it says this, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of your heart flow the springs of life," or the forces of life, or the issues of life. Your heart, my heart, is a part. The inward man, not the outer man, the flesh, the outer man is perishing, the Bible says. How many of you have determined that your body's changed a little bit? How many of you have lost a step or ten? As you got, no, really, I mean, you know, you used to want to play football and then you got to a point to where it was tag football, and then it was, "I'll be the quarterback," and then it was, "I'll watch," and then it was, "What time's the game start?" To watch it on television. I mean, it just, the outer man is changing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I read a quote, and I wish I could give credit to the person who made it, but I forget who made it. But the statement was true nonetheless. He said, "All men die, but few men live." You get one shot to do this. You get one shot to honor God with your life. One shot to be able to make a difference in life. To be able to let the life that's in you, that God put in you, that He's entrusted to you, matter and make a difference. In Proverbs 4, He told us, "Out of everything that you guard, make sure you diligently guard your heart. For out of the heart flow the springs or issues of forces of life." In Mark chapter 4, turn there with me, is the parable of the sower. We've been studying the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. We found that in Mark chapter 4, verse 11, in referring to this teaching, Jesus said that this teaching is going to reveal the very secrets of the kingdom of God. He went on to say down in verse 13, if you don't understand this secret or this parable or this truth, you won't understand anything about the kingdom. In other words, what he's about to teach here is the very basic knowledge you have to live in the context of the kingdom of God. How many of you are born again of the Spirit of God? Raise your hand. How many of you have made Jesus the Lord of your life? Then you have passed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are now translated into the kingdom of God, and that kingdom has principles within it. And Jesus is teaching us the very foundations of kingdom living in Mark chapter 4. He said, I'm revealing to you the secrets of the kingdom, but if you don't get this, you'll miss it all. Now in Mark chapter 4, he gave us literally four types of soil or ground of the heart. He defined the parable later on, but he first started by saying there was a sower that went out to sow, and he sowed by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Then he said, and he sowed on stony ground, and then it said it had not much depth of earth. The sun came up, scorched it, and it withered away. The other, he said, well, the seed was sown among thorns, but the thorns grew up and choked it. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choked the word, and it became unfruitful. And then he said, there was good ground, such as would hear the word, receive it, and the word would be planted, and it would grow and produce a 30-fold, a 60-fold, a 100-fold harvest, a full yielding harvest. Yet he showed us there are four types of soil, four types of ground. We saw that wayside soil did not bear fruit. Stony soil did not bear fruit. Thorny soil did not bear fruit. Only that good ground maintained the conditions that would prepare or let the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, remain there long enough whereby it could bear fruit. Now, if God tells us to protect our hearts diligently or with vigilance, notice he said, you protect your heart. He didn't say pray that God would do it. So the keeping or guarding or protecting of our heart is entrusted to whose care? God's or ours? Our care. So if God is a God of justice and he's going to ask us to guard our hearts, then by definition of what it would mean to be a just God, he's got to tell us what to guard our hearts from. So in Mark chapter 4, he breaks it down very simply into four conditions. And he said, if you'll protect yourself from three of the four, by reason of that protection, you'll be good ground. And he went on to explain the parable of the sower and the kingdom of God. In verse 26, he said this, that a man would cast seed into the ground. What is the seed referred to? The Word of God. So what Jesus in teaching the parable? The seed, the sower soweth the Word. So the sowing of the seed, Jesus said, the seed that we sow in the kingdom of God is the Word of God. Now, where do we sow it? In the ground of our hearts. He said the ground refers to the heart. So, here's the kingdom of God in a nutshell. Jesus said this, that a man would put the Word in his heart and do it day and night, sleep and rise. It would grow, but he wouldn't know how. In other words, here's the kingdom of God. Here's kingdom living. Put the Word first in your life. If God said it, practice it. If God said it, put it in your heart. Now that sounds kind of vague. So he goes again and explains, and he said, now what will I compare the kingdom to in verse 26? He said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which he said is the smallest seed. He said, but it's planted in the ground of the heart. Yet it grows greater than all the herbs, so much so that the birds of the air can come and find a lodging place under the shadow of that tree or that bush after it grows. So he's saying, not just vaguely a man would cast seed into the good ground of his heart. He said, I'm telling you that what this principle is, if you'll miss it, it's very deceiving. You'll miss it. This is the secret. The Word of God appears to be small, insignificant, and the smallest of seeds when you put it in the ground of your heart. In other words, what is my bad marriage compared to this little seed of the Word of God? How can taking the Word of God and putting it in my heart change my marriage? Because if you're in marital problems or strife, you know how overwhelming that feels. What about your financial problems? I mean, you don't understand. We're in distress. How can taking God's Word in my heart change that? Jesus said that it's the smallest of seeds. Now, here's the principle. Dear one, if your marriage is in peril today, if your heart is broken because your marital life is in distress, it's not going to change today. Jesus is teaching you it's going to change by putting the Word in your heart and doing it consistently and keeping the ground of your heart in the good condition, and it will produce life but it will take some time. Only in Jack and the Beanstalk, the seeds produce overnight. But Jesus is teaching the parable that kingdom living is not an overnight process. Kingdom living is a consistent lifestyle of putting the Word first. Taking God at His Word and feeding upon it, putting it in the inward man, yet keeping the heart in such a condition as not to be wayside, stony, and thorny. Now we saw wayside ground, and tapes again are available for that. But in the wayside soil, we saw very clearly that that was just an indifference to God. That was a person who lightly esteemed the things of God. They're in the kingdom, they're glad they're saved, but they don't want anyone to know about it. Where this person works, no one knows they're a Christian. Because it's hidden. You can't tell it from their lifestyle. They ride the fence, so to speak. They live in both kingdoms. They live like the world and then come to church on the weekends and try to get enough to keep them through the next week. And when they do come to church, it's very sporadic. Yet they want to bear fruit. Now remember this, lest you get discouraged or feel condemned. If God's Word tells us to protect our heart, and then He tells us to protect it from being wayside, stony, and thorny, would it stand to reason that these are conditions that any one of us could fall into? Every one of us can be tempted to fall into these conditions. None of us are exempt from the temptation. Yet we've got to identify them so that when they come and present themselves as enemies, and what are they coming for? They're coming to steal the seed out of the ground. If you're going to make a farmer unsuccessful, the most productive way, the most effective way to make a farmer fail is to take all the seeds away. He can play farmer all he wants. If there's no seeds, he gets nothing. In wayside ground, Satan is coming for the seed. In stony ground, he's coming for the seed. In thorny ground, he's coming for the seed. And if you understand the principle of the kingdom, is that your enemy is not so much out to get you. He's out to get the word out of your heart or to affect the ground of your heart in such a way as that it will extinguish the power of the word. And if he can do that, you can play church all you want to. In fact, let's look at stony ground this morning in Mark chapter 4 and verse 16. Every one of us can fall prey to these. We've got to protect ourselves with vigilance and diligence. Not to become indifferent to God or wayside soil. Not to esteem the things of God lightly. Not to consider what God would have you to do for your life as a light thing. Not to be a covert Christian. But to be open about your walk with God. And I don't mean jam it down people's throats. But listen, if the fruit in your life, I'm persuaded, if you're wayside in the condition of your heart, I can promise you this, the fruit that comes out of your life, if people had to live off of it, they'd starve to death. Why is that? Well, because of the indifference to God, it never produces. And it's desperately, desperately damaging to you. So what do I do if I'm in that position? Well, guard your heart from it. Change the things you are doing that produce indifference. Now, we're tonight going to look at stony ground. We don't have time to reiterate what wayside is, but tapes are available for that. Stony ground, Mark 4, verse 16. These are they likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, the seed sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So notice, stony ground identifies a person who's hearing God's word. Notice it identifies a person who's not indifferent to the word of God, but receives it with what? Gladness. So this is a person who's placed themselves in the position to take God's word into their life. They're even in a position where they're receiving it. I mean, this is an amen person. This is amen, preach it, brother, hallelujah person. This is, yeah, I believe that. The word of God, I believe the word. Yet, even in that condition, you don't bear fruit. If the following circumstances is present in my life or your life. Look at verse 17. And yet they have no root in themselves, and they endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution comes for the word's sake, immediately they stumble and are offended. Notice the Bible says they have no depth. And so when... And they only endure for a little time. Now, let me ask you a question. A farmer that only endures for a little time doesn't get a harvest. A farmer that only works through half the season bears no harvest. And if he doesn't even go into the field to collect the harvest, he quits. This stony soil is a person who gives it up and quits and draws back. Stony soil. Have you ever been tempted to quit? Draw back? You ever been discouraged? Am I the only honest person in this room? Have you ever been discouraged? That's a condition that tries to affect your heart. Notice he said this. Stony soil is soil that, understand that he said, when trouble comes, it's coming for the word's sake. When persecution, trials, tests come to you, they're coming to steal the seed. He said this, though, and so they give up and they are offended. Everyone say offended. Stony ground or stony soil of the heart can easily be cultivated, if you want to cultivate stony soil, by taking offense in your life. Jesus said this about offense. It is impossible, but that offense will come to you. It's coming, ready or not. There are two types of people. Those that have been offended and those that will be. Actually, there's a third type. You will offend somebody. If you're a human, you will be offended and you will offend. Yet, if you let offense in your heart. Now, how do I know if I'm letting offense in my heart? It's a real easy barometer to check up on to find out if you have. What comes out of this? What comes out of what my mother affectionately called that hole under your nose as we were kids. In fact, it was quite a direct quote. Shut that hole under your nose. If you want to repeat that with your children, you can make sure you quote her. Give her credit, you know. But this hole under our nose can get us into a lot of trouble. And if you want to find out what's in your heart, find out what's coming out of your mouth. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, so-and-so did me wrong. And we turn into B.J. Thomas singing somebody's done me wrong song. Anybody remember old B.J. Thomas singing, somebody done somebody? You remember that song? If you don't, the Bible said, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. Everybody's had the opportunity to be offended. Now, when you've been offended and you've got little partner to it, you can deal with that a little bit better. If you got your hand in a little, you're kind of, you know, it's way I could see, you know. But when you've been offended and you think, man, right or wrong, but I've just been assaulted here. That's where you almost feel justified in getting a bad attitude. Anybody ever felt justified in a bad attitude? Anybody married? Huh? You ever felt justified? They did me wrong. How about where you work? Is there anybody where you work born for the express purpose of ruining your life? Yet if the Word of God's going to govern my life, I can't go work like everyone else. Amen. I can't present myself where I'm employed like everybody else does. Why is that? Because the Bible said as a Christian, I need to serve my employer like I'm working for Christ. Amen. You know, you realize a lot of Christians are wanting to prosper. They can't even get to work on time. If you were working for Jesus, I imagine you'd be on time. You know you wouldn't have roast employer at lunch. People sit around at lunch and badmouth the people they work for. Christian can't do that. Yeah, I can. It'll affect your heart. Question, what is worth coming out of here to you that can so affect this that it will no longer will bear fruit? Now, the Lord helped me with this because, you know, one thing they never taught me in Bible school was... No, I shouldn't say that. I never listened or learned, I should say. Because I'm sure somebody quoted this scripture. Jesus said that people will speak all manner of evil against you. I wasn't prepared for that. I like to be liked. Anybody like to be liked? I like to be liked. And I wasn't prepared for that. And I finally, you know, I went to the Lord about that. I said, you know, I'm tired of this. I don't like this. This is a high cost to pay. What do you want me to do? Something needs to be done. You ever think something needs to be done? Well, if you think all you think about is this life, you'll want something done in this life. But when you understand your life is but a vapor, that you appear for a little while and vanishes away, that someday you give an account to Christ. Here's what the Lord showed me, and it helped me immensely. He said, son, I've given you a row in my field to work. And you work in that field, and you do the row I've called you to do, and don't you worry about anybody else. none of your business. The scripture says it this way: who art thou that judges another man's servant? In other words, he was showing me that when I would draw a conclusion or even offer an opinion, you know, more and more I'm finding the closer I get to the reality that my life is but a vapor, that my days upon this earth are brief and there's brevity, that my days are numbered, I'm finding myself not saying certain things. I'm finding myself thinking this thought: I'm too close to heaven to talk about that. I don't want to answer to the Lord about that when I see Him. See, He showed me the pride in leaving your row in the garden and walking over three or four rows into another person's row and saying, no, you do this and you should have did that and you should have did this. He said the pride of that son is that you've had to conclude your row's finished. I'll quote now my father, not my heavenly father, my earthly one, as we would be eating our dinner together. Keep your nose in your own plate, boy. That should be in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says it this way: who art thou that judges another man's servant? See, for me to judge another thing, that means I have to know their heart. And only God knows someone's heart. And I've learned that when this talks, it needs to honor God. It needs to bring grace to the hearer. That's called walking in love. Do you know the Bible calls evil speaking discussing faults and failures of people not present? Say, well, I just cut my tongue out and throw it away. I don't even need it now. Do you realize every time we do that, it hinders our life? It affects our heart? 1 Peter chapter 3, referring to marriage and this, and talking about this very thing, he said that your prayers would be hindered. What are you willing to add to your life that will hinder your prayers from being answered? Let me ask you this: what are you willing to subtract so they will? Amen. Well, keeping my heart pure and good means that I can't let offense get in here. That I've got to commit it to God who judges righteously and walk away from it. And keep this closed. That's not easy to do, folks. Your flesh will scream. The Bible calls it suffering in the flesh to cease from sin. Evil speaking. Discussing faults and failures of people not present. You see, it's so... Go to Galatians 6 quickly with me if you would. It's when you keep the ground of your heart free from offense. Now, what will those things cause you to do? Want to give up. You're weary in well-doing. You faint and you quit. That's a temptation. And the Lord dealt with me: son, you stay in your row. And a while back, this is just a couple weeks ago, somebody said to me, several weeks ago now, well, you know, with all this building stuff y'all are involved in, you must be feeling a lot of pressure. And I thought about it for a moment. I said, you know, I'm not. I didn't mean it in any way to brag about it. It just came out of my heart. You know, I'm not feeling any pressure. But, you know, they asked me that a year and a half ago. I'd have felt pressure. And you know what? Just a simple truth of knowing, this isn't my kingdom. Amen. I'm just a boy in the field working for my dad. And he said, son, go work that row. That's all. I go, now, when you think of obeying God over over a lifetime, it can be overwhelming. But where he helped me so much is he said, just son, every day, seek to honor me with your thoughts, your words, your deeds for that day. Just that day. Get up in the morning and seek to please me that day in your marriage, in your parenting, in your words, in your deeds, in your actions. What thoughts you let rest in your mind need to please God. The words of my mouth need to please Him. And if I just do that every day, at the end of that day, where I've missed it, or throughout the day when you miss it, ask for His forgiveness. But I want to hear every day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When you realize, just, I'm a farmhand. What pressure is that? Get out and work the field. You know, the Bible says the sleep of the laboring man is sweet, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. I'm just a laborer. I labor together with Christ. Whatever that means, in whatever context of responsibility, I just need to honor Him. I need to please my audience of one. And you know, when you do that, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run over the whole earth to and fro, seeking someone to show himself strong on their behalf, whose heart is upright toward him. My prayer is that he has to look no further than you. Then when his eyes run to and fro over the whole earth, and when he hits this church, it just stays here for a while. You know, every one of us can have that testimony. But in life, look at Galatians 6. The Bible says, do not be deceived in verse 7. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. One translation says, a man's harvest in life will depend entirely upon what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now look at verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. A farmer that sticks with it to the end will enjoy a harvest. That's the kingdom of God. A person, see, when you give up, now what makes you give up? Circumstances come, situations come, trials come, tests come to remove you from your sticking with what God said. Look at quickly with me in James chapter 1. Let's see that in Scripture. James 1 and verse 2 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Everybody say pure joy. Consider it pure joy when you come into trials. I mean, you have to look at that and think, James, were you on drugs? Well, verse 3 tells you the only way to do that is you have to know something. Know this, that the testing of your faith will develop perseverance. Well, what good's perseverance? Perseverance, verse 4 said, must finish its work. Now, I've added this in your PowerPoint. It says, a man will cast seed into the ground of his heart. Think of this concerning the operation of the kingdom of God. What's perseverance? It's sticking with it long enough to let the seed do the work. It's letting the seed remain in the good ground of your heart long enough. There's power in the seed. Yep. Power's not in me. My heart doesn't contain the power. The seed contains the power. I've just got to keep the seed in the right place, lodging place, long enough for it to do its work. And once the seed does its work, look what happens. When you persevere, he said, you will be mature and complete and not lack anything. If any of you does lack wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without fault finding, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now look at verse 7. That man, what man? The man that is moved by the circumstances of life rather than by what God said. That man should not even think he will receive anything from the Lord. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? You mean I can pray and put the word in my heart and do all the things I think I know to do and it won't work? That's exactly what James said. You see, very clearly, stony ground is when circumstances or how you feel govern your life rather than what God said. Now, anybody ever been tempted to that? Am I the only one? You ever been tempted where you just felt like, this isn't right? I have a right to be wrong right now. You know you never have a right to be wrong as a Christian. How many of you are married? Now don't get scared. You're already there. Hang in there. If you're married, I promise you there's been times in your marital life you felt you had every right to be wrong. You felt right to have a bad attitude. You felt right to pout for a day or two or a month. You felt you had a right. Well, if you're going to let the Word of God govern your life, now here's the deception. What is the seed of the Word of God compared to the struggle that I'm facing right now? Jesus said it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but after it's sown, it will grow. And when it grows, it will produce. Kingdom living isn't kingdom living until it exceeds caring for you. Remember, he said, the kingdom of God is such is that when the bush grows, others can lodge under the shadow of it. You can judge every doctrine that you ever hear taught by this principle. If it ends with only you, it may be good teaching, but it's incomplete. If all you hear about prosperity is about you, then it's incomplete. If all you hear about being blessed is just for you to be blessed, you're blessed to be a blessing. Kingdom living isn't kingdom living until it's grown beyond the borders of your life, until you're blessing other people. I'm doing well financially. Well, that's great. What are you doing for other people financially? Well, I don't want to do anything for other people. It'll affect your heart. So I'm just not much into that tithing thing. I don't buy into that. You know, we don't get an option to buy into the Bible as a Christian. Well, I knew it was going to be somebody pressuring money out of my pocket. God's not pressuring anybody for anything. He's trying to bring life to people. He said His commandments are for our good always. Yet, if how you feel governs your life rather than what God said, and you let that dominate the way you live, it will affect the ground of your heart, and your heart will become stony. And you will lose the seed out of the word or the ground of your heart. And you can play church. You can come to church all you want to. Go to prayer meetings. You can have hands laid on you until they wear every hair off your head. And you won't get anything. I won't get anything. Because it doesn't produce unless the seed remains in the ground. It's very simple. We have to ask a question. What area of my life, what area of your life have you refused to act on God's word? Or let God's word be the governing factor in your life? Only you can answer that between you and the Lord. Not for those on our television ministry, you're not going to see this, but for those here present today, I've given you a little list to peruse on the PowerPoint. Ask yourself this question. Is the word of God reigning supreme in these arenas of your life? Your marriage. Your parenting. The words you permit to come out of your mouth. What do you say about your body and its wellness? What do you say about other people? What about your employment? What about when it comes in regards to being a tither and a giver? Where do your actions line up with that? What do you know God's Word said? And when you understand that these choices affect the ground of my heart, which makes me unable to have the Word of God bear fruit in my life. So you see, how is it that the marriage bone is connected to the answered prayer bone? It is. Read 1 Peter 3. The tithe bone is connected to the answered prayer bone. Obedience brings great reward. It will keep the ground of your heart. A refusal to put God's words first in our life will cause the ground of our hearts to become stony. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is in Psalm 19. And verse 14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer." I want to encourage you today. You can live this life. You and I, we can protect ourselves diligently from being wayside, stony, and thorny. You'll have marvelous opportunities to have your heart affected for evil. And I encourage you, pass them up. Pass them all up. And walk with God. Love God. And recognize that in just a few moments, you're going to stand before Christ and give an account for this life. And I want to be able to do so carrying a generation of people behind me. I want to present my wife to Him in a way that honors Him. My children, my grandchildren, the church He's asked me to pastor, the friendships I have. I want to steward the money that He's entrusted to me properly. And someday, I long to see that if you will, tree be so large that it's grown that literally tens of thousands of people can lodge under the shadow of it. That's the heart desire of every kingdom living person. It should be. And I just pray for you to realize that God wants to use you in a mighty way to move beyond the borders of your own life. The seed of the Word of God is a powerful thing if it can stay in the good ground long enough. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I give You thanks. I give You praise. I give You honor. I give You glory. I thank You for every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, that not one would be discouraged. Not one would weary in well-doing. Not one would give up and faint in their mind. Not one would feel bad about their past. But they would look and realize that there's an open door in front of them by the power of God. An open door. An open door. Oh, as we wait upon You, let's just wait in His presence a few moments. I sense His presence in this place. I magnify you, Lord. I worship you. We honor you in this place. Open your heart today to Him. Areas that you know He's dealing with you about, lay them at His feet. Ask Him to show you how to number your days so that you really may be able to apply your heart and live beyond the moment. Help Him to show you, ask Him to show you that someday when you see Him face to face, what do you want that day to hold for you? It's not far off. It's not far off at all. Oh, Father, we magnify you. We magnify you. Thank you, Father God. Worship you. Oh, your presence is so sweet in this place. Thank you for your presence. I just sense so strongly in my spirit. I just need to pray generally for those of you here today. You're either on the verge of giving up or you just have. You're going through the motions. It might be, I don't know, it might be in your marriage. It might be in your walk with God. I don't know. It might be financially. I just need to pray for you because God wants to bring to you His presence and His power. As you commit to take that word, the word of our God, and put it in your heart, in that arena, and let it bear fruit over time. And that you'll persevere until it bears fruit. If you're here this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed, the Spirit of God just so strongly is dealing with my heart for you. If you just sense, you say, right, you know what, I've either given up or I'm on the verge of it. Would you please pray for me? I'm going to pray for you right where you're seated. Just simply raise your hand. You can put it right back down. God bless you. He's for you. He loves you. If you want to be included in that prayer, go ahead and raise your hand quickly. Put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, I pray for every person with an uplifted hand. I pray that they would not weary in well-doing. They will reap in due season if they faint not, if they don't quit. I pray that you encourage their heart right now. I pray for areas that they may have identified that have affected their hearts, that they won't give up, that they won't be overwhelmed, that they won't think it's insurmountable, but they'll commit it to you. And if you said we could protect our heart, that you'll grace us to do it. And I pray for those who may have suffered deep offenses from others, real or perceived. If it's real to them, it's real. And Lord, I pray that you would mend their broken heart. I pray, Father God, that your presence and your power right now would fall upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for that. And I thank you, this is a church filled with people who have good ground, who cast the seed on a consistent basis in the ground of their hearts, and they bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. God's word producing in our marriages, our families, our jobs, our finances, our emotions, our thought life, the meditations of our heart, the deeds and our actions of our life. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. Now, with every head remaining bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. That is, if you died right now, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or if you would go to hell. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If you're here this morning and you don't know your eternal destiny, I want to pray for you. And I'll do it right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. So if you'd like to pray with me this morning to invite Christ into your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Simply raise your hand right where you're at and I'll include you in that prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor John, include me in a prayer to invite Christ into my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're so worth the wait. We want to make certain you know Him. Well, praise God. I'll take it. Everybody knows Jesus. Amen.